And we're back. You're listening to Money Talks, Atlanta's longest running, most respected money show on radio. I'm Matt Hames here with Jim Crone, Troy Harmon, talking about all kinds of fun stuff.
Matt, before we get into the financial stuff, have you been to Alabama lately? I know one time that song just popped up.
I am a Georgia boy. I am born and bred in Cherokee County.
Yeah.
Still live there today, but my wife's family is from Alabama.
Yeah.
My wife and kids are there actually for spring break this week. That's
oh,
where
there
they
you.
Are. And I am headed down on Monday.
All right.
So I'm gonna
any
go.
More turkey hunting in your future?
Tuesday morning, I imagine I will be up before the sun.
There you go. Talking turkey.
So
that's
yes.
good stuff. That's a lot
absolutely.
Of fun. Actually.
I've got some clients down there that that enjoy turkey hunting. And you know, listen.
You got to do what the client
says.
Hey, if the client wants to go turkey hunting.
Whatever you call the client meeting is your business.
Listen, they asked me. I don't know what you want me to do, Troy. I mean, you know.
No, I'm with you. I'm full support.
You have to be quiet while you're talking business. Right?
Well, text it.
Yeah, listen. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But no, you can sit next to a fellow and text all morning if you want.
You sure can.
Right?
You sure can. So Alabama's on the... on the radar for next week.
All right, so it's in your future.
It absolutely is.
All right, we were talking before the break about some regulatory issues that we had come out this week, and basically what's happened is the Department of Labor has decided that when it comes to 401k business,
mm-hmm.
that anybody who's advising mm-hmm. on a 401k needs to use a fiduciary standard.
Standard of care.
Right. And in the past, it's been more of a suitability, and there is a difference between the two.
And I think included in that was IRAs, wasn't it?
It is, yeah, retirement
it is.
Accounts.
It's retirement
funds. Anytime
right.
retirement fund.
Yeah.
So
when it comes to fiduciary, let's see if we can flesh this one out a little bit. Fiduciary means you've got to sell them something that's best for the client. So it basically focuses the attention of your advice on what is absolutely best in all manners to the client.
Yeah, it can have nothing to do with you as the advisor. It's,
right.
It's got to be in the best interest
right.
of the client.
And you might wonder, why is that different? Well, you know, if you've dealt with a RIA, mm-hmm. a investment advisor, registered investment advisor all along, they've been under the same care. They've dealt with
there's
this
there's nothing
all along.
Really different for
this
those
right.
in
there.
Today's market
right.
change.
But when it comes to brokerage firms and insurance companies who have both been very active in those retirement accounts,
mm-hmm.
In the past, they could use a suitability standard. And where it might come into play, and Jim, you probably know a lot more about this than I do, but when it comes to selling annuities, there's usually a pretty attractive commission for the salesman when it comes to that, right?
There are, yes.
So that can sway your opinion, and just because, you know, it is... can mm-hmm. be sold as a retirement vehicle.
Yep.
You know, you sell them something and you get the big commission. It might not be what's absolutely best for the client. Now, some cases, as you've made the point, it you know it could be, but you have to focus
on
what's going on.
Show
with
how. I mean,
I think in the position that we've taken with annuities, we have found it very challenging for one product to do multiple things. And
right.
we state that every time we sit down with a client.
Right.
And so, therefore, we get very, very selective and very intentional about who and how we use annuities.
Right.
In the 20-plus years I've been doing insurance, I actually can tell you I've never sold a variable annuity. So
not once.
Not once.
Yeah.
Not
well.
Once.
Well, and, you know, if you wonder how nuanced this could be, mm-hmm. actually you go through, if we do a financial plan for a client,
mm-hmm.
You know, quite often in-house we use what's called the 10-year rule. And it says that, you know, any monies that you need within the next 10 years should not be invested in the equity markets. They should be laid aside in fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
And fixed income is basically you're going to get a coupon on a regular basis when the thing matures, when the bond matures.
Yeah.
You're going to wind up with the principal and probably another interest payment. But there's a whole lot of leeway when you say bonds.
Oh, sure. You could say fixed income.
Right.
And this is where the suitability conversation comes in, right? Well, fixed income is suitable. But just like any other asset class, there are subcategories of an asset class, right? So it may
sure.
be fixed income, but you could select some pretty sorry fixed income investments.
Sure, you could go with high yield, you know, some that are rated triple C, which is on the verge of bankruptcy, of default.
And oftentimes the motivation there from an advisor or a broker in many cases is there's a bigger spread, there's more commission to be made if the broker's working on commission, there's a higher yield, which comes with greater risk.
Sure. Every single time when you're getting better yield, you should expect that you're taking more risk.
So, you know, they could say, well, listen, it's part of the fixed income portfolio of this individual, and thereby it's suitable.
Yeah.
That doesn't quite
not necessary.
Wash.
Right.
Not necessary.
Most of the time what we're looking for when we talk about fixed income, we want to make sure that the whole reason for you not to take the risk on equities is so that you make sure that you have the money that
it's
you need.
It's not so you can take risk on fixed income.
Right. So, you know, it's a horrible environment. Interest rates are very low.
Yes.
And it's attractive. You start worrying about, am I going to have enough? Am I making my 1% that might even be enough to cover the fees that I'm paying an advisor? But in reality, you still don't want to take any more risk than you need to. You need that money in 10 years, so buy yourself some AA bonds, buy a CD that's got the backing of the FDIC or something like that, so it's insured and covered in multiple different directions. But in the end, it really doesn't impact us so negatively at all. It just puts everybody else on the same playing field.
Yeah.
And if you back up a little bit, you know, this regulation that was announced Wednesday has a long tail to it, right? This has been in the works for a long time.
Right.
And even the final rules won't be implemented until sometime, I think, early 2018, I think,
is the official drop
dead date in terms of when things are going to be formalized. But what I think is interesting is the reaction that was already done even before the announcement. Because insurance companies have made changes, right?
They have.
They're deciding they don't want to be in certain lines of business now.
That's right.
Yeah. Do they want to be in wealth management or asset management or, you know, whatever it is? It has changed their minds for sure.
And it's not limited to just insurance companies. Even the brokerage arena has made adjustments.
Absolutely.
Related to how they're going to deliver what they deliver.
Sure.
And at the end of the day, what's motivating the changes in their business structure is the compliance cost that's coming along with the regulation. It's going to be expensive for them to document and detail out why, okay, now we're performing to a fiduciary standard as opposed to just a suitability standard. So that's what's happening. You're seeing it in the news. It's pretty well known. We got some other news, other regulation that came out as well, right?
So
more of a tax-related deal.
It is. So you've seen a lot of companies, and even in the political campaign that's going on right now, we've seen some folks talk about companies that are offshoring, trying to move away. They call them a tax inversion. It's what happens when a domestic company, they'll buy a smaller company or merge with a smaller foreign company, and then the next thing you know, they're trying to move their headquarters to the outside the United States, basically, so that they'll get favorable tax treatment relative to what our tax laws are in the United States. So Jack Lew, our Treasury Secretary, came out this week and said he's laid down the law. You can do it, but there's huge penalties, and it's made it so that it's not attractive anymore. We saw a merger that was planned actually get unraveled, Allergan and Pfizer, I believe it was.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Companies are now doing all they can to try to figure out what's their next step. We've heard it time and again, how Apple's got money that they've got profits offshore that they can't repatriate. You can't bring them back.
You can't pay
them out in a dividend or use them to reinvest in the United States. They leave them offshore so that they don't have to pay the 35% max tax in the U.S. And, you know, you might think it's unpatriotic of these companies that are sitting out there, but I really think the biggest point to be made in this whole debate is it really is a problem with them being able to, absolutely, it's a competitive disadvantage. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, just in the arena that we're talking about, Pfizer, we're talking about a pharmaceutical company. Mm-hmm. You'll look around, you look into pharmaceutical business, even the companies that are listed on the United States exchanges. There are domestic exchanges. Quite often, they're ADRs. Yeah. It's American Depositary Receipts. They've got foreign shares that trade on the U.S. markets. But it's because that business is so international. You know, a lot of the companies, the big pharmaceuticals, are not based here in the United States. They're based elsewhere. So it really is, instead of paying 35% to the to the United States, they're trying to pay 14, 15%
somewhere else.
Right. Ireland, wherever you
want
to
say. It's a business decision that they're making. And it's driving a lot. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do they have a fiduciary standard to their shareholders, right? Stakeholders. I mean, that's the feeling that they would say they have, right? So.
Right. Well, and the thing is, it really is something that needs to be changed. They can't compete on a similar scale with foreign companies. And now our government has decided that it'll use the hammer and beat us all into submission. So, you know, we don't have that potential. You know, I see both sides of the story, but I will say that the more of these regulatory stories that we see, you should understand that these are the kind of things that are causing our economic growth to slow.
It's why we're not growing in many respects.
Right.
I mean, all you hear is compliance costs going
costs,
up.
Right.
And it's expense.
Tax cost.
It's a tax. It's this, that, and the other. And and you're right, Troy. I mean, I do think it's impacting the economy's ability to run out.
Yeah, and, you know, don't miss the point. The United States is still, you know, the best apple in a rotten bunch. When you look at growth overseas, we still outgrow them. We're not having worries about deflation, things of that nature. But I will assure you that every piece of regulation is costly.
It is.
It costs you something.
No question about it.
Yeah,
no question about it. Well, all right. Well, let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, we will answer your questions and wrap up the show. It's gone fast today. Only got one more second. So don't touch that dial. You're listening to Money Talks. We'll be right back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.